Adam. Everybody just say thanks to Adam. I'll tell you what. He does so many things you don't even know, and I appreciate. Rumble strips. I've been over a few. Anybody been over a few? Okay, this is the center one. I've been over the side ones, and they actually have some in the front that are supposed to slow you down, or excuse me, tell me to slow down before I go into a toll booth. Those I've been really good at. So I do like those rumble strips, praise the Lord. And they're so cool because they're audible and tactile. Boom, 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 right? You can feel it and you can hear it, right? And what's the purpose of a rumble strip? Keep you on the road or get you back so you don't do a head-on, right? So rumble strips are really important. But the series is about God has rumble strips for us. Now, we say God is love. He loves us. He loves us so much that he gives us rumble strips in our life. Say, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, all right? And last week we talked about our first one. The first rumble strip we talked about is the rumble strip of wisdom strip. And if you weren't here last week, go get it. And we said God has these wisdom strips that he puts in our life, boom, 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 to keep us on the path, the good path. Not the ditch on the side of the road. Praise God. So today we're going to talk about a new rumble strip. A new rumble strip. If you're taking notes, write this one down. It's called inner strip. I-N-N-E-R. An inner strip. And it's actually literally, yep, this is it. We're going to actually talk about our conscience. You know Jiminy Cricket? That song? Okay. Our conscience. So we're going to talk about our conscience. And I want to start with a story. I was in college, my senior year in college, and I finally met Jesus. But before, you know, those BC days, and listen, I grew up in the 60s and 70s. So just fill in the blanks. But before, you know what we do every weekend? We go out partying. And sometimes we'd start Thursday night, and I don't know what happened to Friday, but we'd go out partying for the weekends, okay? And then my senior year, I meet Jesus. And I start reading a Bible, and I start seeing these wisdom strips in the Bible, and I start, I've decided I'm going to change how I live my life. Because I'm reading these wisdom strips, okay? And it's just a beginning. It's a beginning, okay? I didn't get it all perfect then, and I still don't. But listen to this. I've got these, I've had an encounter with Jesus. I've asked him to be Lord of my life. I finally get a Bible about 3 months later, and I'm reading it. And this is close to graduation, and one of my dear friends says, Dee, my boyfriend's coming in town with his roommate. Do you want to go on a double date? And I'm like, show me his picture. Show me the picture. He's cute. All right, I'll go. But something on the inside says, say no, say no, say no. But I looked at that picture and I was like, So I go on this double date. So I go on this double date with my girlfriend Lisa and her boyfriend and this guy. Can't even remember his name. So we go out to this club and they've got, you know, alcohol, bars, dinner. We have dinner there and then we're going dancing. I used to dance. I can't believe that. Yeah, used to dance. This is disco days, by the way. So we're dancing, and, So the guy's just sitting there, and everybody's dancing. So I'm like, we're supposed to go dancing. You want to go dancing? No, I don't dance. I was like, are you kidding me? Maybe that's why God was saying no. So he doesn't dance, so he's drinking. And I'm up with everybody dancing and having a great old time. And then we're there for about an hour or two, probably about 2 hours, and it's getting late. And Lisa says, hey, there's a party at the other end of town. Let's all hop in the car, and we'll go to the party. And this inside voice says, say no, say no. That's my conscience. And I overrode it, and we got in the car, and I'm in the back seat with this guy, and it's starting to get a little uncomfortable, and the next thing I know, bam, we are in a car accident. I was not driving. Okay, I'm in the back seat. Car accident. So what I'm really talking about today is your conscience, and sometimes you'll have thoughts that happen afterwards. Like, you shouldn't have done that. And sometimes you'll have these thoughts, your conscience, this inner inside voice that says, Dee, don't do that. Does anybody ever have their conscience talk? Now, I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit. He is a rumble strip, and we're going to talk about him in week four. But I'm talking about my conscience. Anybody ever your conscience talk to you? You know, oh, man, I somehow like, just yell, okay? So most of the time, my conscience that back then on that whole story, it was warning me. And I was just not listening to it, okay? So we're going to call that our conscience or our inner strip on the inside, all right? Now, our text for this whole series is found in Ephesians chapter 5. So open up your Bibles at Ephesians chapter 5. And every week we're going to read this and we're going to add to it. So Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. Say, praise the Lord when you find Ephesians chapter 5. Good, we got one person here. All right, Ephesians chapter 5. Now, before I read that, we have this inner strip inside of us, our conscience. And do you know it can be broken? Do you know that inner voice, that conscience, cannot work good sometimes? And we're going to talk about it not working good, not it being broken, and we're going to talk about fixing it. Okay, that's the whole, what we're going to do today. But right now, here we are, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. And this is our text for the whole series. It says, therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So this verse can be talking about when you first receive Jesus. Guess what? You get life and light, right? When you first receive Jesus, and there's a whole bunch of scriptures that says that. But this is also talking about after I receive Jesus. Do you know that you can kind of be spiritually darkened? You're spiritually darkened. We call that, sometimes we'll say, oh, they're backsliding, slidden, all right? We have a whole bunch of words that describe it, and it simply means, I'm a believer, here's the path God's got me to walk on, and I am sort of spiritually darkened, and I start going off the path. Has anybody had a day where you went off the path? The rest of you are liars. Raise your hand now, okay? Yeah, y'all not perfect. My intentions was this, okay? And then I can be spiritually like in the dark, and I'll go off the path, all righty? So we're going to talk about four rumble strips. Last week we did verse 17, and that was the wisdom strip. And it was simply saying, God saying, hey, I have this Bible here for you, and you read this and you'll find wisdom, God's wisdom, that'll go boom, 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 and keep you down the straight and narrow, okay? So wisdom strip, super good. Today, the second one, it's the inner strip, and it's found in let's go read the next verse 15 and 16. Verse 15 and 16 says, see that when you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Okay, so that's really talking about our conscience. And it's saying, hey, watch out. Watch out. It also says, be cautious, all right? So this is what God's saying. Hey, I have given you something that will help you walk. It will help you walk on the path that you should be walking on. And you won't do boom, 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 boom. All right. Well, it'll be a boom, 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 but you won't go over the cliff. So that's all it's saying. God's saying, hi, I have something here. And I have it so it'll protect you. And he's simply saying, walk it out. Walk it out. Live it. All right, so God gives us rumble strips, but you have to decide to walk it. You have to decide to do it. So here's our main idea that I want you to understand more clearly than you ever have before you hit the parking lot and you head out, you get this here. And it goes like this. If you're taking notes, write this down. Our inward voice, our conscience, our inward voice judges our outward choices. Our inward voice judges our outward choices. That double date, baby. My inward voice was going, say no, okay? It was warning, judging my outward choice, All right. And sometimes that those outward choices are things that we did or were about ready to do, but that inward voice, the conscience, okay, and we'll talk a little bit more who has it, all right, will help me not take a left turn, crash and burn, and get into a car accident, all right? So that's our conscience, and it's a rumble strip, praise the Lord. Now, the day you were born, everybody got a conscience. Tell your neighbor, you got a conscience. All righty? You got a conscience. All righty? And the purpose of that conscience is to keep you on a path, the good path. So everybody has a conscience, and it's to keep us on a path. All righty? Now, our conscience, our inner voice, that inner strip is to our soul, just like pain receptors are to our flesh. All right? The stove is on, and I touch it, and my pain receptor says, ow, don't do that again. Okay, your conscience that God gives everybody helps you not go ouch or do things. All right, it's just fantastic. Okay, and it's meant by God to help us. Your conscience is meant by God to help us. Again, I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about everybody has a conscience. We're just going to build on this later on. All righty. Turn over to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Again, the main idea, our inward voice judges our outward choices. Our inward voice judges our outward choices. Romans chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Romans chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. It says, even Gentiles who do not have God's written law, right? Show that they know this law when they instinctively obey it. All right. Even without having heard it. Okay, keep reading verse 15. They demonstrate that God's law is written in their hearts for their own conscience, and thoughts either accuse them or tell them they are doing right. All righty. So all it's saying is that they know if they're doing right or wrong. All right. Now, these are people that don't read their Bible. And he's saying these Gentiles, people who don't know their Bible, instinctively know if they're doing right or wrong. Yes. Praise God. All righty. Now, listen to this. We are all born with a conscience, every single one of you. All righty. So you instinctively will know right from wrong. And we're going to talk about how you mess that up. But for right now, we all know right from wrong. And let me tell you a story. Jack and I were living in York, and then we went home to visit my dad. I think my mom had passed away a couple years before. And we're going home to my girlfriend's wedding. We're going home to this wedding. And, of course, back in the day, Jack wore a suit. Matter of fact, a three-piece suit, so he had a vest. So we come in the house, and he lays his suit over a chair. Now, let me back up a little bit. My dad has gotten a dog. This is the man that told us he was allergic to cats and dogs when we were little, the whole time, because he had allergies. And then everybody moves out of the house, and this man buys a dog. So I knew not to say anything, but I was like, okay. So, and it's an Irish setter, because we're Irish, and guess what we call it? Shannon, okay? So we walk in the house. We've driven 4 hours. We walk in the house, and Jack's carrying his suit for this wedding, and he lays it over the chair, and Shannon walks up and pees on it. Just pees on it. Now, thank goodness it had the plastic, the dry cleaner, you know, the sheer thing on there. But my dad goes, Shannon, what did you do? And I'm thinking, I know what he did, all right? Now, listen, this dog didn't wake up the next morning and feel bad about it. This dog didn't come over to my dad and say, oh, I'm so sorry. You know why? It doesn't have a conscience. They have feelings, but it doesn't have a conscience, all right? We are the only creatures that have conscience, all right? And let me give you another one. I'm just going to gross all you animal lovers out because I just love doing that every once in a while. Do you know that lions, a male lion, when they take over the pride, That means there was a male lion and they kill that one or they chase it off. Do you know what the male lions do? They go into this pride and they eat all the baby boy cubs. Yeah, and you know what? They don't wake up the next day feeling bad about it. Okay? Because they don't have a conscience. I know, I grossed y'all out. So sorry. Okay. No, I'm not. Okay. But listen, God gave you and I a conscience. No, I think it's terrible. It really is. I really just, I even cringe when there's a dead animal on the side of the road. I really do. Okay. So listen to this. So God has given every one of us, every human being, a conscience, but it can be broken. It can be not working right. You probably know some people going, yeah, you're not kidding, Pastor D, okay? So I want to talk about two ways that our conscience can be broken. And then I'm going to talk about how you can repair it, okay? Because God gives us a rumble strip, boom, 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 boom. And I don't want it broken. I want to hear the boom, 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 boom. I want to feel it, right? Because it's meant to help us walk life the way God has for us. Alrighty, so here we go. If you're taking notes, here's number, I'm going to give you two ways that your conscience, your inner strip, it can be broken. Number one, our conscience can be seared. Sorry about that. Okay, that's a Bible term. Okay, your conscience can be seared. Alrighty, turn over to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4, our conscience can be seared. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Such teaching comes through hypocritical liars whose conscience have been seared, catheterized. Okay, now what that's talking about is if someone's got a big gash, they take a hot iron and put it on there to seal it up. But the problem afterwards is it would lose feeling. Doesn't feel no more. It's not bleeding, okay? So he's saying those whose conscience have been seared, catheterized as with an iron. Here's another translation. It's a contemporary English one. It says, they will also be fooled by the false claims of liars whose conscience have lost feelings. Praise God. So here we go. He's telling us that our conscience can be broken and it can stop feeling. Things that boom, 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 all right? Things that we should be doing or shouldn't be doing, all right? So we have a conscience, and it can be seared. Let me tell you, searing your conscience. This is the best story I can come up. So, you know, I was raised in the Catholic faith, and they would ask you, and I can't remember, help me out, all my good Catholics, to go to confession. Was that like once a week? Really, any time you muffed it. Right. Okay. You're supposed to go to confession and confess your sins to a priest. So from kindergarten to third grade, I went to Catholic school, and the nuns would take us every Friday. So they'd parade us in, and we'd go in to the box and tell the priest all our sins. Okay. So so let's just suppose that I stole something. And my dad was notorious for emptying his pockets, and he put it on top of his dresser. So let's just suppose that I took that money. And then it's time to go to confession. So I'd go in there, and I'm feeling guilty about it because I'm number one, and I got to go to the priest. But I'm feeling guilty because my conscience has spoken to me, and I'm not even a believer, right? So I go into there, and I go, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. My last confession has been a week ago. And then what you do is you'd make up how many times you disobeyed your parents, because what kid counts? So I laugh now. I'm lying about confession. Right. Because you remember how many times you disobeyed your parents, right? In a whole week? Okay, sorry, Lord. Delete. Oh, yeah. Let's suppose I stole. So I'd go in and Father, I stole. And I feel bad. He says, oh, you shouldn't have stolen. You need to go make it right. You need to tell your dad. You need to put the money back. Oh, yeah, okay, I feel bad. Oh, so the next week, you know, I'm walking by my dad's bedroom, and there's more money up there. And I was like, oh, just going to take a couple of things here. But after I do that, my conscience, my inner strip, my boom, 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 said, it makes me feel guilty. I feel guilty about it, all right? So then I go to confession again, and I tell the priest again, and he's telling me the same thing again. And after I confess my sin, I feel better. better. But the week goes by and you get it. You get it. I just keep doing it. I just keep doing it. And what happened is I have seared my conscience to the point of the next time I go to that confession, I'm not even going to tell them because I don't feel guilty anymore. All right? So that's searing your conscience. And maybe you're here and maybe God's dealing with you that you've seared your conscience. Okay? But it can be fixed. So good. It can be fixed. Okay? And maybe yours is lying. Maybe yours is taking things you shouldn't. Maybe yours conscience is seared because you've been living a lifestyle that you know you shouldn't be living. And after a while, you're like, eh. Okay? But the great thing about searing your conscience is you can fix it. All righty? Here's a scripture that just kicks it off. Turn over to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah 6:15. This is like describing it. Here we go. They are ashamed. Excuse me, it's a question. Are they ashamed of their detestable conduct? The answer is no. They have no shame at all. They do not even know how to blush. Okay, so it's talking about searing your conscience, and you can come to a place where you don't even blush. You don't even lose sleep over. You're like, it's no biggie. You have seared your conscience. That's what that scripture's. And listen, we live in a world, and there's a whole ton of the world that have seared their conscience, and they're doing things, all right? Because their conscience is seared, all righty? And I'm telling you, it's easy to have it happen. But it's easy to fix it. Praise God. All right, here's the second thing. Let's move on. The second thing that can break your conscience where it's not working. The second one is our conscience can be deceived. Our conscience can be deceived. All right. Another way you could say it is it can be programmed with lies. Your conscience can be programmed with lies. Therefore, it's now deceived. My dear Warren Hunter used to say, you don't know when you're deceived because you're deceived, so you don't know you're deceived, all right? You can be programmed with lies, and then you're deceived, okay? And let me give you some examples. It doesn't matter if, like, watch any news station, and they're going to tell you, I don't care which one, if they're going to tell you a whole bunch of things that are, and then all of them, they'll slide in some things that aren't true. And then they'll slide some things that are true. And then they'll slide some things that aren't true. Media, same way. They got some things that are telling you that are true. And then they slide in some things that aren't true. All righty? And let me tell you something else. Your kids are bombarded in school with things that aren't true and some things that are true. All right? So your kids are having this. And what it is, it's little clips, little snippets of things that aren't true. And you hear that thing again, and you hear that thing again, and you hear that thing again, and you believe it to be true. And therefore, you're deceived. And it happens. Not in this church, somebody else, okay? But it does, okay? And the Bible calls that being deceived. So you hear something, and you hear it over and over and over, okay? Now, I was thinking of, gee whiz, I raised 4 kids. I am a day older and a little smarter in some of it, okay? But I just want to give you parents or grandparents here just some golden nuggets, and you can take it or not, okay? But I was thinking as I was preparing this message, your kids are living in a crazier world than my kids did. My kids graduated in the early 2000s. Your kids are living in a time where it's crazier than what my kids lived. All right? Now, amen. Yeah, but we got to do something, all right? Okay? Now, I'm not saying everything in the culture that your kids are living in is bad. There's some great things out there because God always moves. All right? There's some great things. But I want to tell you, it's a crazy thing. It's just crazy out there. And I just want to tell you what we did. But we were talking about this. We took our kids to church, and we were laughing. My kids didn't ask, are we going to church? It was, what time are we leaving? Okay? We took our kids, nursery, preschool, children's church, JV, and then they were in what was it called back then? The senior high. Powerhouse? Powerhouse, okay? All righty. And we just took them. We made sure we brought them for everything that was going on, okay? We brought our kids to church. And here's why. Your kids, and I'd like to say, they're being bombarded with bullet points. Pachoom, 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 okay? They're being bombarded with their friends. Just ride the school bus. You want to get bombarded. Pachoom, pachoom. I won't even tell you what I learned on a school bus. Ridiculous, okay? Sometimes they're bombarded with their teachers because their teachers, they're teaching good stuff, but then they slide in some stuff that's not 100% true. Bible truth, okay? So they're getting bombarded, all righty? And the thing is, those bullet points, you keep hearing them, you're going to start believing them, and that lie now becomes the truth, and that truth has caused deception, and your conscience just believes it to be true. Okay? This is not an amen, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah thing, all righty? But, so guys, we made sure we got, number one, as a parent, you stand before the Lord to train them up. Church is the ministry of helps. Our job, our ministry here is to help you, all right? But you do that. So, but as a parent, so we were doing our part, but then we made sure we got them to church where they were hearing the word taught and taught and taught and taught and taught, all right? So just encouraging parents to get them in here, praise the Lord. Let me give you a scripture here, Isaiah 5. We're talking about your conscience can be deceived. Praise God. Isaiah 5:20. Tell me if this doesn't describe the culture we live in, the world we live in. Listen to this. Woe to those who call evil good. Oh, gosh, it's so crazy out there, right? Who put darkness for light and light for darkness. Who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. All right? Guys, our conscience can be deceived. And that this is the world that they are so deceived. They have bought the lie, believe the lie, tell the lie. And the problem is they're not even going to hear the rumble strip. Boom, 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 boom. Because to them, the deception is the truth and they're over the cliff. All right. But you guys are the light. And I just so appreciate it today and the ministry that the Lord was doing. Okay. So again, parents, you know what you do? Who is it? Bob prayed that prayer. It's just been big on my heart. Get yourself in the Word of God. Get your kids in the Word of God. That's the truth. And it's not just on Sunday. You just do it all the time, all right? And especially, I want to say something about our youth group. I love Pastor Sherry. She's my daughter and stuff, but I've sat and you've listened to her preach and share the word of God, and they are going to hear things downstairs that are truth that pertain to the things that they encounter. And it's light and it's truth. And we keep putting that in front of them so they are not deceived. So get your kids to church. Amen. Alrighty. So moving on. What happens if your conscience is seared? What happens if you're deceived? All right. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to give you three things that you can do to repair your conscience. All right. Three things you can do to repair your conscience. And actually, we've kind of talked about them throughout the first two things. But here's the first one. Ready? Real easy. Reprogram it. Reprogram your conscience. Okay. I would love to reprogram your conscience. And I kind of do this on Sunday, but it's up to you to reprogram your conscience. Reprogram your conscience. So, you know, if you reprogram your conscience, you'll reprogram your mind. If you reprogram your mind, you're going to reprogram your conscience. So the more you get in the Word, it'll reprogram your mind. That'll reprogram your conscience. Open up to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. This is your true and proper worship. So we just finished a worship service, and that's one way you can worship. You can sing. There's other times you can just worship by just declaring, okay? But this literally is talking about the truest way to worship is by your lifestyle. What? It's not singing? No. The truest way to worship is your lifestyle. It's the 24/7 stuff. It's not just the singing, okay? And this is what he's saying. This is the Apostle Paul that's writing. He's saying, in light of what I taught you in chapters 1 through 11 in Romans, in light of what God did in your life, in light of all the great things that he did in your life, that Jesus took your sins on the cross and redeemed you, in light of all that, I would like you to lay your life and say, God, you own me. I'm going to give you me. God, you own me. And the moment you say that and you live that and you believe that, and I am not the boss, that God owns me. Look what he's done for me. When you do that, you start reprogramming your mind. That'll reprogram your conscience, and that'll repair it if it's been seared or deceived. So that's like first thing you do. First thing you do, right? Listen to verse 2. Do not conform to the patterns of this world. It's talking about those bullet points. Bing! Bing! Don't conform. The world's trying to just shoot these things and make you pressed in to do it. He says, do not be conformed to that pattern. All right? Listen to the rest. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Ready? Read your Bible and listen to the word being taught. Read your Bible some more and listen to other people teach the Bible. Read your Bible and listen to the word be taught. Okay? You do that. You do that. You do that. All right? And then it says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. Real simple. Guys, reprogram your mind. Reprogram your mind. It'll reprogram your conscience. And that conscience is really important. It's a rumble strip to keep you on the right path. Praise God. So let me just tell you a little bit about me. I've been a Christian for over 40 years. I was like, whoa, how long is that? Okay, it's kind of 40 years. And I've been reading my Bible for 40 years. Sometimes just once a day for a few minutes. Sometimes I get to sit down for a whole hour. And then sometimes I need it at lunchtime. I need it at dinner. Last night, my brain was just on the go mode. So I got my cell phone out and put the Bible, went to sleep. I think I heard Ephesians chapter 1, verses 2, 3, 4, 5. And that was it. Okay? So I've been reading my Bible for a long time. And in the beginning, I sat right where you were sitting. I let somebody just feed me. And then I got, I do that. And then I listen to other people. Do you know when I go home, I listen to other, I tell everybody, I go to church about 4 different times after church. I go online and listen to some other ministers and they feed me, okay? And now I also get to teach it. But let me tell you about my early days. I'd be reading my Bible. This is early when I first met Jesus, first 5 years, really, 5 years. And I read my Bible and one day I'd be reading something. I'm like, holy moly, wow, I've been believing a lie. I'd find something in the Word of God, talking about my lifestyle, talking about my thoughts, talking about what I shouldn't have said the other, and I'm like, in the good sense, I was convicted that I'd been believing a lie. And then I'm like, whoa, this is the truth. And then I do it, all right? Isn't that wonderful? Okay, so guys, I renewed my mind so I can renew my conscience. And I think I'm getting sweeter and sweeter as the days go by, really. I think in 40 years, there's been some sweetness finally, okay? So stick with the Word of God. Stick with the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Listen to other men and women teach the Word of God. And then stick to the Word of God. Get your kids trained up. Get your kids trained up that they're listening to the Word of God. They're reading the Word of God. And they're just going to have to do it once and not be reprogrammed. Whew! Wouldn't that be easy? Didn't happen all the way that like that. But anyway, okay. So you do this, it will start making your conscience fixed and growing. Praise God. All right, here's the next one. Here we go. Second thing you can do if your conscience is broke, use it so you don't lose it. Use it so you don't lose it. Everybody has been given a conscience, all right? So use it so you don't lose it. A friend of mine was telling me this. They were at a dentist office and there was a poster, an advertisement, and it was about dental floss. And it says, ignore your teeth and they'll go away. That's true, right? Okay? And the same thing happens with our conscience. You ignore your conscience, it won't stop working. It's just, okay? You keep ignoring it, okay? And you don't want to see that. So what you want to do is yield to it, okay? So you want to yield to it when it's telling you, convicting you, yield to it. When it's telling you to do this, yield to it. Real easy. It just get so that you tune into it, okay? Because if you don't, and you don't, and you don't, and you don't, you're going to have a seared conscience, and you can get into deception, and we don't want that. So let me read, I like Hebrews chapter 5. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. We're talking about how you restore your conscience, and this one's use it. Ready? But solid food, Hebrews 5, 14. But solid food is for the mature. By constant, constant use, having trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Guys, there's something about constant use. How about obeying? How about yielding? All right? Yielding your conscience. And you start yielding your conscience, constantly doing this, it just gets easier and easier. Like right now, I wouldn't get in that car with that girl and those guys. I know better now. It's gotten easier. I'd say no. But seriously, you start using this, yielding to it. It does get easier to know, oh, don't do that. Oh, yeah. Okay. You get better at it. Praise the Lord. Okay, so the whole idea of your rumble strip, boom, 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 is God wants you not to stray off course. That's the whole idea, okay? Now, we're going to do the last one, and this one is a life changer. I've been doing this my entire 40 years of knowing Jesus. It's a life changer, all righty? And this one goes, clean it when you dirty it. Clean your conscience when you dirty it. Clean your conscience when you dirty it, okay? Clean your conscience when you dirty it, all righty? Because if you don't, it gets yucky, ucky, sticky. It doesn't work right, all right? And you miss things. So you want to clean your conscience. Okay, this is my best story for this one. I grew up in North Jersey. I come to York and meet these Cashmans. And they shoot things. And they eat them. Okay? Had no clue. Because where I grew up, there's squirrels. That's about it. I didn't know anything about hunting. Matter of fact, one of our first arguments is, I didn't know what deer spotting was, Bill. And we're in a car, we're on a date in that little red Volkswagen. And we pull up Indian Rock Dam Road where the reservoir is. And Jack pulls over. So I thought, oh, good, we're going to make out. No. He says, reach under. I'm like, reach under? And pull. He says, pull that thing out. It's this Wombo spotlight. And he said, and I'm like, and he says, stick your arm out the car. And I'm yelling. This is really Jersey at that point coming out. And I'm yelling, we're going to get arrested. And I just, you know, there is a really funny, crazy side here. So while I'm doing that, next thing I know, cars are pulling up. And I'm like, oh my gosh, the police are here. No, no, no. Three more cars pull up behind us. Do the same thing. Okay, so what am I doing with that story? That was my funny story. Just to entertain you, keep you awake, because if the coffee were off. Okay. So I knew I married into something I didn't know nothing about. Okay, and then probably about a month into dating, Jack pulls up in his little TR6, because he thought it impressed me. TR6s does not take luggage. So to a woman, that does not impress me, okay? That wasn't impressing me, but to a guy, okay. So he pulls up, and I was working at this restaurant, and I'm ready to get in the car, and on the floor is a pile of dead birds. doves. Didn't know what they were. Now I know. They're doves. And he's like, come on in. We're going to go home to my house. I'm like, eh. So he's throwing them in the back. We get to his house and he cleans them. But you know what he does after he cleans them? Oh, yeah. No, no. That all stuff. I watched all that. That's okay. So it's okay. They're dead. No. He starts cleaning his gun. Cleaning his gun. And even after we're married and we have shot everything under the sun, after you cut up the critters and you pack them up, that man, it doesn't matter how tired he was, he's cleaning his gun. Take it apart, clean his gun. Why? Because if you don't clean that gun, it's going to get icky and sticky. It's going to misfire. And I'm sure a whole bunch of other things just for the sake of it, okay? God has given you a conscience, and you need to clean it. Because if you don't, it's going to get icky and sticky. You'll do dumb, dumb things, right? You're going to miss the walk God has for you. So we want it to work properly, all right? So how do you clean it? Now, I do know how to clean guns. It's been a long time. I'd have to get the manual out, okay? No, now we YouTube it, okay? That's right. So how do you clean it? How do you clean this conscience? How do you clean this conscience? I'm going to take you to a New Testament verse in the Bible. I've been doing it for as long as I met Jesus. 40 years. I'm going to take this one, all right? And there's some, anyway, we're going to read it. Open up to 1 John 1:9. Open your Bibles. Most of you can just say this from heart, but open your Bibles and look at it, okay? 1 John 1:9. I'm actually going to read it out of the NIV, all right? This is a scripture about cleaning your conscience, okay? And it's written to Christians. Here we go. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness, all right? He's writing to believers. He's writing to followers, all right? Okay? And here's what I've done my whole life. I've done that scripture. Actually, I usually read it. Okay, I read that scripture and I'll go something like this. Heavenly Father, I missed it. I sinned. And sometimes I have to tell him I did it again, I did it again, I did it again. Because there are some things I keep doing, all right? Anybody? Only not at once, all right? Okay? And I'll say, God, Father God, Lord, I did it again. I'm sorry. And I thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses me from all unrighteousness, okay? Now, I already know that he has forgiven me because I know that Jesus died on a cross for all of mankind. He took all of their sins, past, present, and future, and he took them and carried them away. Okay. But you know, that scripture, sometimes I need a do-over. And when I go to the Lord and say, I need that do-over cleansing. Just, I need it. I don't know about you. So that is why I believe that scripture's there. So when I mess up, okay, when I've done something a couple of times and a couple of times and a couple of times, I'll go, Father God, you know, I messed up. And better yet, I sinned. And I repent and I thank you that the blood of Jesus cleanses me and I'm forgiven from all unrighteousness. And you know what happens then? I'm cool. I'm good. I don't have any guilt, okay, because I did that. I did that, all righty? Now, I don't have enough time to give you about 7 more scriptures, so I'm just going to talk really fast. Okay, here we go. I like to call 1 John 1:9 applying. Applying the blood, okay? And I'm going to give you another scripture that just goes in more detail. But when I say that, this is what I see. Father, I sinned. I was wrong. I sinned, and I thank you for forgiving me, and I just applied this blood and Jesus' blood forgives our sins. It was the only blood that would forgive us our sins and bring us and restore us into a beautiful place of holy and blameless, all right? So that's how I see it. This is me, because I always see pictures, so I just go, God, I sinned, and I thank you for forgiving me. I ask you to open my eyes so that I don't keep doing it. I ask you for your grace so I will not keep doing this. And I just apply the blood and I just walk out of there feeling I'm all right now because I've done that. 1 John 1:9. Praise God. Okay, one more scripture. Hebrews. Here we go. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Hebrews 9:14. Again, he's talking to believers, and this is this next scripture. Just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our conscience. The blood that Jesus shed purifies my conscience, okay? From sinful deeds, so that we can worship the living God. For by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for us. Okay, so what he's saying is, when I get dirty, I clean it. That's all that is. When I get dirty, I clean it. And I'll use 1 John 1:9, and this is another scripture that just goes on there. So God, I just thank you that you have forgiven me of my sin. I just, man, totally messed up. I thank you for cleansing me. And man, I'm just right back on the road. So what I see is, you know, I just... do stupid stuff, okay? And I see myself in the ditch. And then I go, Father God, I messed up again. I sinned. And I thank you that you cleanse me from all unrighteousness. You purify me with the blood of Jesus. And then I see me back on the road. Just doing great. Just doing great. Doing great. Doing great. No guilt. No shame, okay? So, what do you do if your conscience has been broke? Deceived? What was the other one? Seared. Thank you. I'm sitting there thinking, I know I took 2 points. Okay. Restore it. How do you restore it? It's the word of God, guys. Restore it. Use it so you don't lose it, and then clean it. Praise God. Let's just go and pray a little bit here. Just bow your heads, close your eyes. You don't have to wiggle or worm. Just be real still. Father God, I thank you that your word has ministered life today and light to everyone in this place. Father, I know there's some that have been off the road in the ditch, and I thank you, Father, that this day, they are coming back on the road. I thank you, Father, that we make a commitment to reprogram our conscience. We make a commitment to use it, your wisdom strips, to listen and yield to your conscience, our conscience. Father, we just make that commitment. And you might be hearing saying, Pastor D, I'm in the ditch. I've been in the ditch. Well, today's the day you just say, God, I'm in the ditch. I have sin. I've been seared and just doing it and doing it and doing it. I've just seared my conscience. And I just tell you right now, and Lord, I ask you for forgiveness. And I make a decision to repent, to turn. And I thank you. You put me back on the road now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know what I've seen in churches? Because I've been around the block a little bit. But I'll see people, and I'll either hear through the grapevine, or you just look at them, and they've seared their conscience. They've sinned. How about they've sinned? And it could be a biggie or a little one. And then I don't see them for a while. I don't see them for a while. I don't see them for a while. And usually what happens is they have been shamed by their sin. Guys, we sin. There's no one perfect but Jesus. I know the perfect one's living inside of me, and I'm really trying to walk it out, but I still sin. Okay? So, but I see people, and they stop fellowshipping with you. They're believers. I'm talking about believers. They stop coming to church, and they pull away. Doesn't take a rocket science to figure out. Go after them. Call them up. If I hear one lovely more person say, Pastor D, whatever happened to so-and-so? If you ask that question, that's the Holy Spirit telling you, pray for them. Go after them. I stalked this one girl out years ago, and I sat in her parking lot until she finally came home, because I knew there was a problem. And I knew, and I kind of had heard from other people what had happened, and she was shamed in her guilt and her conscience and the whole nine yards. And I was just there. And I said, we're not going anywhere until we talk about this and pray. And, you know, we cried and we prayed and, you know, got back out. So that's the second part of this part. Besides, there's a world that needs you, and we're going to love big. So let's stand up. Father, you are wonderful that you love big. You are love, and you love us big. You love us so much that you put rumble strips in our life. Wisdom strips and inner strips, and we're going to find out about more of them next week. And I thank you, Father. Our ears hear those, and we feel those, and we adjust our life in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all have a great week. Go tell somebody how awesome God is in their life. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you would like prayer, I'd love to pray for you. Today's the last day we're doing Christmas in July. If